All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest from the dugout at Wrigley Field on a Sunday morning, Giants bench coach Kai Correa. Kai, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start by asking you specifically about Brandon Crawford. And we're going to talk about a bunch of Giants infielders here as you coach the infield. And I just want to go back to a play that he made on Friday, 108 miles an hour off the bat of Patrick Wisdom, 6-4-3 double play where he had his back turned to the infield when he stabbed that ball. I asked you pregame on Saturday just what your reaction was. I'd love for, you know, the audience to know when that ball's hit, how much confidence do you have in Crawford to be able to make that play? Because he made it look so much easier than it really is.
Yeah, I think it was an unbelievable play. And my reaction is similar to those at home watching on TV, people in the stands. The moment the ball gets put into play, I become a fan of Brandon Crawford just like everyone else. I just got a better seat. And once he gets it in his glove, the cool thing about Craw is you can almost assume an out because he's so athletic. And he's so creative at the fringes of his range to find the way to deliver the ball to the base. And we've seen it throughout the course of his career. And you see it in his practice and his work. And so you know he has so many different ways he can get the ball to the second baseman. And so I thought it was an amazing play, but I wasn't surprised.
Crawford obviously has been kind of the steadiest piece of this infield this year with so many moving pieces, so many guys coming off the injured list back onto the field. Just what has it meant to this group specifically to have Crawford kind of anchoring the infield and being that stable, steady piece that you can always rely on a daily basis?
Yeah, that consistency is so key for our defense. Having him be there day in and day out as people rotate around him is exceptional. And one of the biggest ways he impacts the defense beyond being an elite defender when the ball is hit to him or when he's asked to make a play is his pre-pitch and pre-batter communication. How not only does he make sure he's in the right spot, but he makes sure everybody else is aligned. And then he initiates a lot of the conversations on who's covering a bag, where the ball is going if the ball goes in a certain direction, who's got what responsibilities on a given shift. And he's integral to the success of our overall defense in addition to our infield defense.
Something that always stands out to me about Brandon Crawford, regardless of how exceptional of a play he makes, he always stands up and shows the outfielders the number of outs that are on the scoreboard at that time. And it's just a very fundamental thing, but something that even kids in Little League could, you know, take hold of, regardless of whether you're playing, you know, T-ball or whether you're in the major league. Showing the number of outs is a part of this game. And so I want to go over to third base, Evan Longoria. He spent a lot of the season on the injured list with various injuries. He had the shoulder issue and then the finger issue, but throughout that time, you put in a ton of work with him pregame and, you know, during that process of getting him back to the field to make sure that he'd be ready from a defensive standpoint. There's a lot of times where you two would be the first two out on the field together. I'm just wondering what impressed you about his preparation process to make sure that when he came back, he was ready to go at full strength in this infield.
Yeah, no, that was, really, really tough to miss him for that great of a period, but really, really cool to see his preparation in between. And I think, you know, when you're a veteran like he is and played third base in the major leagues as long as he is, you and I both know that he doesn't need that preparation to be able to play third base at a high clip. So the really cool thing is he's taking that initiative and preparing himself, whether it's outdoors on the field with a throwing program or off the fungal or indoors off a machine, as if he was going to play each of those days, even when he wasn't cleared the swing. And so that's one of the reasons why I think he's been so elite over the course of his career is the care factor. It's that he wants to excel. He wants to jump right back into the lineup and contribute right away. And he put that work in and took that initiative through all those weeks. And we've been fortunate enough to reap the rewards where he can hop right back into the lineup and play a great third base and be offensively productive.
Throughout this week, there's been so many different reasons to talk about Brandon Belt and what he's done with the bat, wearing the electrical tape on his jersey. But I go back to Coors Field earlier this week, and you guys turned a few 3-6-1 double plays where Belt had to make some very difficult throws. As a first baseman, how underrated or how underappreciated can a player's throwing ability be? And what's impressed you about Belt's ability to make those plays this season?
Yeah, when you think about first base play, it's really easy to underappreciate the ability for a first baseman to throw, because you think about the throws in terms of their quantity and how they're not very, very often throughout the course of the game. But what you forget is the intensity of the throw or the value of a throw first baseman makes. Whenever a first baseman is throwing a baseball, odds are it involves a runner in scoring position, whether he's throwing a second base, whether he's throwing a third base, whether he's relaying home. And that's where we get a lot of benefit from Belt's ability to be not only a strong arm thrower, but an accurate thrower, because he's really helpful for us on bunt defenses where we can be aggressive getting getting a lead runner, on initiating the 3-6-1 like you talked about, and then also in cuts and relay situations. A lot of third base coaches have to respect his arm strength and his accuracy like they do a middle infielder like Kroll. And so his arm is something that's not talked about often, but something we use for our defense all the time.
Giants bench coach Kai Correa joining us here on Talkin' Baseball from the Wrigley Field dugout as the Giants get set to take on the Cubs' final game of a six-game road trip. And I want to ask you about Tyro Estrada now, who has played an important role this season at both shortstop and second base. And the reason I ask is because, you know, we talk about Brandon Crawford as the steadiest piece of this infield, but there was that 10-day period where Crawford was on the injured list with the oblique issue, and Estrada kind of proved that he could play shortstop for this organization. That was maybe a bit of a question once he got traded from the Yankees. What stood out to you about the way that Estrada has learned on the job this year?
Yeah, I mean, that was really cool to see Tyro step up and for us to not miss a beat during that time where he was our everyday guy for the almost two-week span. I think the impressive thing about Tyro is twofold. The first thing is he really elevated his work. He challenged himself to approach his pregame work with a certain level of intensity and pace that was more game-like. And in addition to that, what we see is a really, really cool customer in gameplay. And so when you have that combination of a higher quality of work and a really, really slow heartbeat when it comes to gameplay, you get the results we were lucky enough to receive. And he's proven to be a very, very valuable piece to this roster.
I want to ask you about Chris Bryant now and coming over from the Cubs in a trade. First, just your initial reaction to add Bryant to an infield where you're already coaching three 10-plus-year Major League veterans in Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, and Evan Longoria, and how Chris has just kind of assimilated and fit into this group.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I can think of is how fortunate we are and I am to be able to work with such a excellent infield group. I kind of had that pinch me moment right after the trade deadline where we had that first day and Longo was doing his rehab ground ball side by side with Bryant doing his first ground balls at Oracle Park. And you think that's 20 years of major league service time at third base in one bucket of fungos. And so we're really lucky not only to inherit his ability, his versatility, but also the personality. Another guy who cares about his defensive play, another guy who's humble enough to continue to work at his craft and take feedback and communicate with teammates, and he's fit in perfectly, and we're excited to have him.
What has the process been like? I mean, you've had the chance to now work for 2 years with Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria. Now it's 1+ month with Chris Bryant. What's the process been like of getting him adjusted to your system with the Giants and preparing for games on a daily basis at various positions? Because he does have to go learn the outfield, left field, right field, and then come in and play third base, and he will do that in the same game. So I am curious how you help him prepare for a game on a daily basis.
Well, it's really, really driven by Chris, right? When you've had the success that he's had over, you know, 7 years playing multiple positions and grading out pretty well at multiple positions, he's got his own process. He knows what he needs. He knows what rep quantity needs at each place in each ballpark to feel comfortable. And all we're doing is providing those windows of opportunity in a day and making sure we're available as a staff to prepare him. But his process is really, really sound. And so it's more been about getting to know him as a guy and a defender, and it's been less about introducing new things.
One thing that stands out to me about this Giants infield is obviously all the moving pieces that you guys have had. And I go back to spring training where you guys always try to have someone play a specific position on a daily basis where, you know, they may not end up there a lot during the regular season, but you want them to be prepared. Tommy La Stella playing a lot of first base, a lot of third base, even though second base might be his primary spot. I'm not sure Lamont Wade Jr. played a whole lot of first base during Cactus League play because you guys were learning him as a player. He just got traded over from the Minnesota Twins organization, and now second half of the season, he is primarily an outfielder, but there was a long period of time, Kai, where Lamont was a really solid first base fill-in for Brandon Belt. What went into the process of getting him acclimated to that position? Because he really hadn't played that position aside from his time in the minor leagues at the Twins organization.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a credit to a lot goes to our front office, where identifying that as a secondary skill for him prior to acquiring him. And when we talk to people from the Twins and we talk to people from Maryland, there was a lot of comfort there in his ability to play first base. And he was a relatively accomplished collegiate first baseman as well. And so there was a little bit of a learning curve in terms of some team fundamentals and just getting up to speed with the reps. But all of the prerequisite skills LeMond already possessed them in regard to being able to play first base. The cool thing about LeMond is he's such a sponge. He's so willing to learn. You'll always see him out here talking to voters, talking to somebody, talking to a hitting coach, talking to Antoine in the outfield. He's always having conversations, talking the game and asking questions. And because he has that learner mentality, it allows him to make really large leaps in single days, over the course of single weeks, and in single months.
Now, before we let you go here, one thing that I do want to do is Sundays on Talking Baseball are days for the professor. Ron Wotus comes on. He's already joined Marty on the show. Final weeks of his regular season career, you guys hope to work with him deep into the postseason. What has Ron meant to you in your first 2 years on this Giant staff?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really hard to sum up in like a 30-second blurb. But, I mean, it's his presence is integral to our success as a group and for me individually. When you're a young coach in the major leagues and then you're a young bench coach, you're going to need a lot of guidance. You're going to have a lot of questions you don't know the answer to. You're going to run into a lot of situations where experience matters. And instead of me having to figure out those problems on my own, instead of me figuring out who am I going to call, I've got a guy sitting right next to me in the locker room. I've got a guy sitting right next to me in the food room. I got a guy who's steps away in the dugout, who I can constantly go to and have a really, really precise answer that's full of all of that, those experiences. And for a person of his caliber to take that time to tutor me, to answer my questions, and to be really, really available to our entire staff has been so valuable, and I can't thank him enough.
Kai Correa, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Baseball this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. A lot more coming up next. Marty, Bill, and Carrie, you're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.